So it's Tim and Liz with local news and features. We're in batch number 7 for Update Talking News Stoke. And we've got our final set of headlines. My headlines coming up are: the Universal Credit Mum blames bin-dipping druggies for £600 flight tipping fine. An insider, historic Burslem barge, named one of UK's most important boats. And Lizzie's headlines are:
Reform UK by-election costing Staffordshire taxpayers £27,000. And Stoke-on-Trent MP, I suffer with chronic UTIs. Too many women are left in pain.
So it's now time for the answers to Liz's one and only quiz. Here we go.
Okay, number one. What type of creature is a pout? It's a fish. I'm wondering if that's where trout pout comes from, where they talk about women who've had the lips done. But anyway, that's what it is. A pout is a fish. Number two. What nationality was the writer Georges Simenon? He was French. Number three, which English writer said, if liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear? And that writer was George Orwell. Number four, the late Queen Elizabeth II opened the Olympic Games in London in 2012, I think it was. But what other city did she open the Olympic Games in? Open the Olympic Games, and the answer is Montreal in Canada, and that was in 1976. Number five, emerald is a variety of which mineral? It's a variety of beryl. Number six, which river's annual flood ended in 1970? That was the Nile. It used to flood every year and make the ground very, very fertile, and then the Aswan Dam was built, so it stopped flooding. Number seven, Rebecca West's Black Lamb and Grey Falcon is a study of what former country? It's a study of Yugoslavia. Number eight, which fabric is made from flax fibres? That's linen. Number nine, what type of holiday is named from a Swahili word for journey? The Swahili word for journey is safari. Number 10, how many sides does a heptagon have? It is 7. And that's why it's a heptathlon when they run set do 7 things, activities. And my bonus question, La Manche, is the French name for which body of water? That is the English Channel. And that's my quiz.
Brilliant stuff. And if you want another go at the quiz, then you can always listen to Timbo's trivia at the beginning. Okay, so we have my first story for you now in batch number 7, and this is: Universal Credit Mum blames bin dipping druggies for £600 fly tipping fine. A mum of three is pleading with the council to overturn her £600 fly tipping fine after blaming bin dipping rough sleepers. Stoke-on-Trent City Council slapped Maria Turner with the fixed penalty notice after items addressed to her were found dumped in the alleyway behind her property. But the 39-year-old has insisted that she would never do that. Maria of Joiners Square said, "I'm always reporting litter in the alleyways because there's loads of rubbish back there. I have two little boys who like to play around here, and I've got a proven history of calling waste collection services to pick up heavy items or excess rubbish when I need to. I get rid of my stuff in the correct way. I'm not like that. We get a lot of homeless and druggies coming up and down our street rooting through the bins. I've seen them before and told them that they won't find anything worth looking for in there, but they just look back at you with a blank expression on their face and carry on. One of these people has clearly taken a bag out of my bin, walked up the alley with it and thrown it on the floor. I have 3 family-sized blue recycling bins and 2 regular waste bins, so I really don't have any reason to throw litter around on the street. Why would I take that risk?" Single mum Maria is currently between jobs thanks to ongoing mental health struggles, and money is very tight. "I don't have the money for this," Maria explained. "I've already been having to borrow money off my mum and my sister just to survive. Food, rent and bills just keep going up, and I'm struggling to make ends meet. The only income I have is Universal Credit." I'm just trying to sort my head out at the moment so I can get myself back into work, but this has made my anxiety 10 times worse. I honestly can't sleep. I've been in tears, begging them to please call me and just talk things through with me, but they won't listen. The council has given Maria until the end of May to pay up, but the deadline has been extended. A council spokesperson said the resident has been given additional time to add further representations to the fixed penalty notice decision. As this is an active case, we're unable to make further comments at this time. Over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in batch 7.
Reform UK by-election costing Staffordshire taxpayers £27,000. A by-election triggered by the resignation of a Reform UK councillor after just 2 weeks will cost taxpayers around £27,000. Former Eccleshall and Knowsall councillor Wayne Titley was one of 49 Reform candidates to be elected onto Staffordshire County Council as the party secured a landslide victory on the 1st of May. But just a fortnight later, he resigned after coming under intense online criticism of social media posts attributed to him, including one which called for the Royal Navy to shoot at small boats in the English Channel. The County Council said that Mr. Titley had stood down for personal reasons, while Reform claimed he and his family had been subject to abuse. Reform group leader Ian Cooper, who was formally appointed council leader earlier in the meeting, revealed the forecasted cost of the Eccleshall and Knowsall by-election in response to a written question from Conservative opposition leader Philip White. In a follow-up question during Thursday's full council meeting, Councillor White asked whether Councillor Cooper would be apologising to taxpayers and the voters of Eccleshall and Knowsall. Councillor White described the social media post referring to the Royal Navy as really quite obscene. He said, "That was prior to the election, so Reform UK had the opportunity to remove Mr. Titley as a candidate. As they chose not to do so, and the consequence of that is inevitably that we now have a by-election with the astonishing cost of £27,000, I had no idea it would be quite that much. Would the leader of the council like to take the opportunity to apologise to the people of Eccleshall and Knowsall for forcing them to go through this by-election and the waste of money to the Staffordshire taxpayer?" Councillor Cooper said, "Mr. Titley never signed in as a councillor, as far as I'm aware, and he decided to resign for personal reasons. That's what I've been told by the council. In terms of cost, I find it very hypocritical of the Conservatives to stand there and complain about costs to the public purse. In the last Parliament alone, we had many, many Conservative MPs quit, resign, get thrown out, all at public cost. We had one in Tamworth, Chris Pincher. His by-election cost nearly £250,000. We had Owen Paterson just across the border. Members of the Conservative group, which lost control of the County Council after 16 years following the May the 1st elections, submitted various other written questions to the authorities' new Reform leadership on their approach to issues such as climate policy, finance and libraries. In his written response to a question on DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion, an issue which Reform have raised concerns over, Councillor Cooper confirmed that the County Council's current recruitment policy is completely based on merit. In response to follow-up questions from the Tory councillors, Reform Cabinet members mostly gave stock answers, saying they would get back to the councillors once they had time to mark the homework of the previous administration.
Okay, wonderful stuff. So my final story now in local news and features, batch number 7, is inside historic Burslem Barge, which has been named one of UK's most important ever boats. As the nation emerged from the Second World War, a Burslem-built boat kept the pottery industry booming by making regular trips to Merseyside. Now, DANE, Dane, has been hailed as one of the UK's most important historic vessels, as it remains very much on the water. And it's also boasting a special pendant and a wonderful brass plaque having been named by National Historic Ships UK as its flagship of the year for 2025. Organisers say that the 20-foot longboat will help to fly the flag for maritime heritage. It was built by Mersey Weavership and Canal Carrying Company at Charles Stanier's Burslem Yard back in 1947. Made from oak with an elm bottom, it was used to transport 30 tons of clay slip from Liverpool to the potteries while making return trips with pottery to Merseyside when it was then shipped across the globe. Today, it's based at Middleport Pottery, where the boat helps educate families over not only its own history, but the lives of challenges faced by workers transporting wares to docks in both Liverpool and Hull. Its present use comes after Dane was purchased by the Narrowboat Heritage Foundation back in 2012. It underwent intense restoration to the structure and mechanicals, including a full reconditioning of the Lister JP2 diesel engine, underseen by master moat builder Aid Paglassi. It was then gifted to Reform Heritage. It is among four named as this year's flagships, which include a Cornish fishing vessel, Victorian passenger steamship, and a gentleman's motor yacht, which saved 280 lives in Dunkirk. The awards have been running since 2009. A spokesperson the National Historic Ships UK. I'm not going to give you the abbreviation for it because it says NHS. And it's going to be very confusing if I keep saying NHS. So it is actually the National Historic Ships UK. It's a bit easier to do that, hasn't it? And the awards provide an opportunity to demonstrate and celebrate the value of historic vessels to the wider public. This can be through a variety of online activities, special events, open days, workshops, and tours. Competition was particularly strong for the coveted accolade this year. Applications were received from a range of operational and static vessels on the National Registers based on their seasonal programme and planned level of outreach. The National Historic Ships UK has awarded four very different craft the status of Flagship of the Year 2025, and this year they're all operational vessels. Flagships promote the role of National Historic Ships UK by publicising its annual photo competition, Excellence in Maritime Conservation and Marsh Volunteer Awards. They will also be flying the flag as ambassadors for the UK's maritime heritage sector. The National Historic Ships UK will work closely with each of the flagships to promote their vessels and offer support and advice. Over to Liz now, who's going to do the final story for us in batch number 7.
Stoke-on-Trent MP, I suffer with chronic UTIs. Too many women are left in pain. Stoke-on-Trent MP Alison Gardner broke down in tears as she opened up about her chronic urinary tract infections to give a voice to other women suffering in silence. The Labour representative for Stoke-on-Trent South shared her ordeal as she delivered a powerful speech in Parliament on the 21st of May. Dr. Gardner said she had frequently relied on bags of frozen peas to relieve the pain, but said some women at the debate had described pouring scalding water on their legs to distract themselves. The politician, who was elected in July last year, even revealed she considered getting her bladder removed in a desperate attempt to end the pain. However, she turned to a private doctor who ultimately saved her life. Now she is calling for more research into health conditions affecting women that continue to be misunderstood. UTIs are bacterial infections which can affect the bladder, urethra or kidneys. She told her colleagues, "I've suffered from UTIs as a result of menopause for over 10 years, and I received a diagnosis of chronic UTI in 2023. I don't think that many people realise just how debilitating and excruciating this can be. At my worst, I really wondered how I could go on. I even changed jobs from a beloved lecturing job to one at NICE, N-I-C-E, that's the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, because I wanted to change things from within. And it's why I'm an MP now, by the way. I have tried almost everything, and I was even considering as a final step, before the final step, of having my bladder removed. My NHS consultant, although he did diagnose me and give me Hyprex methanamine hippurate, thank God, because it's life-changing for me, but he finally shrugged his shoulders and said, I will just have to live with it. In desperation, I tracked down a specialist who worked in private practice, and how lucky I was that I had the money. Dr. Catriona Anderson, who I quite confidently say saved my life, I don't say that lightly. Chronic UTIs can lead to hospitalisation, I've been twice, and sepsis and death. I've got a long list of all the drugs that I'm on. I do believe that this is yet another case in point of how many women's medical conditions continue to be misunderstood, under-researched and underfunded. The debate, led by Liberal Democrat MP Luke Taylor, has secured sufferers a meeting with the government to discuss the development of treatment guidelines, research funding and the inclusion of chronic UTI in Labour's wider health strategy. Dr. Gardner's show of emotion was met with empathy from the dozen fellow sufferers in the public gallery who had travelled from as far as Scotland to watch the debate. A spokesperson for NICE said it had updated its guidance on prescriptions for recurrent UTIs in December. We regularly review and update our guidelines, particularly if there are significant changes to the evidence base, they added.